Heavenly Father, we thank you for who you are. Thank you for your Son, the Lord Jesus. And we ask now, as we open the words of John again, of your words to us in his gospel, you would open our eyes and our hearts to see the Lord Jesus for who he really is, and to see that he is different to anyone else, that he is a king like nothing else we've ever known. And we ask it in his name. Amen. Great. Brilliant. Well, last week we started a mini-series in the book of John's Gospel, 5 or 6 weeks, looking at the last few chapters together. And it's an account of Jesus' life, and it's from the last 24 hours before he dies on the cross until he's risen again, and then a few chapters after that. Last week, Lawrence took us through chapter 18 and verses 1 to 27, which was all about the night before Jesus died. We saw that Judas, one of his disciples, betrayed him, handed him over to some Jewish leaders and soldiers. They arrested him and they took him to the chief priests and they questioned him. But I wonder if you remember that Lawrence showed us it was actually the Lord Jesus doing the questioning. He was the one who was totally in control of everything that was happening. If you've still got your Bibles open, just flick back to chapter 18 and verse 4. It says this: Jesus knowing all that was going to happen. And then just look down to chapter 11. Jesus commanded Peter, "Put your sword away. Shall I not drink the cup the Father has given me?" See, the Lord Jesus, the man in chains, he knows what's going to happen. He knows what's coming his way. He's ready to face it. He's in complete control. And that brings us to our passage this evening that Alison kindly just read for us. And I wonder if you noticed as it was read that there is just tons in those verses. It is full of gold. There are conversations between Pilate and the Jewish leaders outside. Then we come inside and there's conversations between Pilate and Jesus. And then in the middle, Jesus is crowned and mocked. There's talk of kings and kingdoms. There's talk of power and authority and judgment. Some say he's innocent. Some shout, "Crucify, crucify." The Passover is being talked about. There is just tons in these verses. So before I say anything else, can I just encourage you this week, just keep coming back to these verses in John, day by day. I'm just going to scratch the surface tonight. There is so much in here. Keep coming back day by day and dig for that gold, because there is plenty in there to help us see who the real Jesus is. Because there's so much tonight, we're going to run through, try and get a big picture of what's happening, find out who our main characters are, what they're like, and then we're going to zoom in and see just a couple of awesome things about the Lord Jesus. So let's start at the beginning, chapter 18, verse 28. Let me read it to you. Then the Jewish leaders took Jesus from Caiaphas to the palace of the Roman governor. By now it was early morning, and to avoid ceremonial uncleanness, they did not enter the palace because they wanted to be able to eat the Passover. So Pilate came out to them and asked, "What charges are you bringing against this man, Jesus?" So it's the morning after the night before. Jesus has been arrested. He's been questioned. And the Jewish leaders, well, they've come to the conclusion, we've got to get rid of this guy. He has got to go. So they take him to the Roman governor, Pilate. Now, if you didn't know, it's because they couldn't do that. They didn't have the authority to kill Jesus. That had been taken off them by Roman rule. They need Pilate to say, "Yes, you're right. Jesus deserves to die." Pilate is a dangerous man. He has the full power of Rome behind him, the full power of the empire, because he is the governor there in that place. And we have the Lord Jesus. So you've got the Jewish leaders, we've got Pilate, the dangerous Roman governor, and we've got Jesus, the King of the Jews. And the rest of the passage is just conversations between those three. This is how it's set out. Can you put it on the screen, Jodine? Just if you're a visual person. We've got outside. So the Jewish leaders won't go into the palace. They don't want to be unclean. So they stay outside. Jesus is taken inside, and Pilate runs between the two. So Pilate and the Jewish leaders outside to start with, inside with Jesus, outside with the Jewish leaders. Right at the heart of it, Jesus is crowned and beaten and mocked. Pilate goes back outside, back inside with Jesus, back outside with the Jewish leaders. Now, I just put that up so we get a feel of where we are when we're talking about the verses. That will stay on the screen through the talk. We'll get a feel of where we are in what's going on. And hopefully, so when you go home and you turn these verses up again, you know exactly what's happening when you're reading them. Six conversations, one coronation. And the big thing is that the Jewish leaders are saying, Pilate, you need to kill Jesus because he is a threat to you in Rome. They need to convince Pilate that is true, and Pilate wants to find that out himself. The big question is, are you a king? That's what we're going to look at tonight. Jesus, are you a king? And the answer is awesome. We're going to see that he is a king, and he's a king like no other. There's never been one like him, and there never will be. His mission is like no other, totally different to any other king or kingdom. And he uses his power like no other. Those are the three things we're going to see. So why don't we zoom in? Let's zoom into that first conversation between Pilate and Jesus. So have a look down, verse 33. Let me read that conversation for us. Pilate then went back inside the palace, summoned Jesus and asked him, "Are you the King of the Jews?" "Is that your own idea?" Jesus asked. "Or did others talk to you about me?" "Am I a Jew?" Pilate replied. "Your own people and chief priests handed you over to me. What is it you have done?" Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jewish leaders. But now my kingdom is from another place." Isn't Jesus awesome here? He is so cool. He's got the man with all the power in his face saying, "Are you a king?" He just asks him outright. If Pilate thinks he's a threat, he's going to be executed immediately. Yet he's cool and he's calm, and he's still the one asking the questions. He is still in control. Do you see in verse 33, Pilate says straight out, "Are you? Are you the King of the Jews?" Jesus says to him, is that your own idea, Pilate? Have you seen who I really am for yourself? Or have you just been told that by the guys outside? "Am I a Jew?" Pilate says, "I'm not one of your people. They, your own people, handed you over to me. What is it you've done?" Here we go, verse 36. This is where it gets really good. Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest. But my kingdom is from another place." Twice he says, "My kingdom is not from this world, it's from another place." And that's what we're going to see first. Jesus is a king like no other. Jesus is a king like no other. In other words, he looks Pilate in the face and he says, "You have no idea who you're dealing with, Pilate. I am a king whose kingdom is like nothing you have ever seen. It is out of this world. I'm not a threat to Rome. You're not even in my league. I am nothing like you've ever, ever seen." And from the rest of John and any of the gospel, we see that, don't we? Turn with me to John chapter 1 and verse 1. Very first verse of John's gospel, where it says word, I'm just going to read Jesus instead. "In the beginning was Jesus, and Jesus was with God, and Jesus was God." Pilate, you have no idea who you're stood in front of. This is God, who is the King of an everlasting kingdom from the beginning of creation to the end. And what's it like in this kingdom with this king? Well, he heals sick people. He gives sight to those who are blind. This king can walk on water. He can calm storms with his words. He raises the dead with his voice. He defeats demons. And we saw last week that when he shows us a glimpse of who he is, when he said, "I am he, I am," the soldiers drew back and they fell to the ground. Jesus is a king like no other. He's a king with unimaginable power. Pilate, you have no idea who you're dealing with. And you notice, not for one second does Pilate take him seriously. Not for one second. He's laughed at, he's mocked, he's spat at. Pilate and those around do not see who Jesus is. I wonder, do you see who Jesus is? Do you see that he is a king like no other? That he has unimaginable power? Whether you do or not, one day you will. One day you will see clearly that Jesus is a king like no other. Isn't that awesome? That is, if you call yourself a Christian, that is who your king is. He is a king like no other. If you're not a Christian here tonight, do you not want a king like that? Who heals the sick, who restores sight to the blind, whose kingdom will never end. Jesus is a king like no other, and that brings us to our second thing we're going to see. He's a king like no other, but he has a mission like no other. Look down with me, the same conversation between Pilate and Jesus. King like no other with a mission like no other. Verses 36 and 37, let me read them to us again. Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jewish leaders. But now my kingdom is from another place." "You are a king then," said Pilate. Jesus answered, "You say that I'm a king. In fact, the reason I was born and came into the world is to testify to the truth. Everybody on the side of truth listens to me." So Jesus has clearly told Pilate he is a king. In fact, he's a king like Pilate has never seen. But he's a king with a very different mission. King Jesus isn't here to fight. He isn't here to throw his weight around. He isn't here to conquer Rome, not in the way that Pilate thinks. And he says that really clearly in 36. Have a look with me again. "My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jewish leaders." If I were here to fight, Pilate, I wouldn't be stood in chains in front of you. My people would have stopped my arrest. And you remember last week, Peter tried that, didn't he? The guy who came to arrest Jesus, Peter took his sword out and cut his ear off. Do you remember what Jesus said to him? He commanded, "Peter, put your sword away." You see, Jesus doesn't conquer like the Roman Empire. He doesn't smash and force submission on people and then destroy without mercy. Jesus' weapon, did you notice, is the truth. That is how he conquers and grows his kingdom. Well, truth about what? How can truth conquer and grow a kingdom? Well, don't turn to it, because it's just back to the same one. John chapter 1, let me read it to you. John chapter 1, but verse 18 this time. What truth are we talking about here? Let me read it. "No one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only, who is at the Father's side, has made him known." Jesus has come to tell and to show the truth about the God of the universe. In fact, a little later on in John chapter 14, Jesus says, "I am the truth." We can know nothing of God outside of Jesus. He is the truth in a man. To know him is to know the truth about God, and therefore about us and about the world and everything in it. And you see, as people see the truth about the world and the truth about us, and they see that God is loving and that he offers life and joy and satisfaction, when they see those things, they want to submit to him as their king. When people understand the truth, they want to come into his kingdom. As people hear the truth and listen to it, Jesus' kingdom grows. And you know what I find so encouraging? All those massive empires like Rome, and I don't even know any of those, I'm not very good with my history. Loads of other empires. There's been tons, haven't there? Tons and tons and tons. Where are they now? They were huge. They took over by force. Where are they now? Well, 2,000 years on, Jesus' kingdom is growing faster and stronger than ever before. Maybe not in our country, but around the globe, people are hearing and listening to his truth, and his kingdom is going from strength to strength, bigger and faster than ever before. And we have a part to play. I wonder, did you hear those words Jesus said? Anyone on the side of truth listens to me. Are you doing that? Do you listen to the truth? Do you listen to the Lord Jesus and his words? We're having them now. I hope you're listening. But what about in the week? Do you open his words? Do you listen to his truth day by day? Do you go stronger in your faith in him as your king? That is one way. The second part is we can testify to that same truth. We've heard this great news that he is a king like no other with a mission like no other. His kingdom grows when other people hear and respond to the truth. It's such good news. Are you testifying to that truth? Jesus is a king like no other with a mission like no other. And finally, our final thing this evening, Jesus uses his power like no other. Well, you might think on the surface, what power? Like, we read this this passage, it doesn't look like Jesus has much power. He's in chains. His very own people want him dead. 19 verse 10, Pilate says he has the power to decide if Jesus dies or not. 19 verses 1 to 3, the soldiers give Jesus a mock coronation where they force a crown of thorns on his head, get him to wear a royal purple robe, and mock him by shouting, "Hail, King of the Jews," as they beat him round the face. It doesn't look like he's got much power. It doesn't look like he's in control. But let's just have a look at a couple of verses, because we know, don't we, he is in control. There's only one man in this passage who has any real power. So look with me, back near the beginning, 18 verses 31 and 32. Pilate said, "Take him yourself and judge him by your own law." The Jews said, "But we have no right to execute anyone," they objected. This took place to fulfill what Jesus had said about the kind of death he was going to die. Jesus, two or three times in John, has already said that he's going to be lifted up and draw people to him, that you look and trust and you will be saved. Jesus is so in control, he even decides how he's going to die. Well, look with me at 19, verses 10 and 11. This is the second conversation between Pilate and Jesus. "Do you refuse to speak to me?" Pilate said. "Don't you realize I have power either to free you or crucify you?" Basically, Jesus, don't you realize your life is in my hands, says Pilate. Jesus answers, "You would have no power over me if it were not given you from above." The Lord is in total control. Surely that leaves us with one question, though. What is he doing? If he's in total control, what on earth is he enduring all of this for? And the shocking answer is that Jesus is using his power to die on the cross. You see, this king uses his power like no other. Let me explain to you why that is just the best thing you will ever hear, It is so stunning. So throughout our passage, on three separate occasions, we're told that it's the Passover. Now that's the time of year that God's people remember his great rescue back in the Old Testament in Egypt. The lamb died so the people could go free. The lamb took the punishment the people deserved so that they could be free to live with and for God. And the Jewish leaders, they take that really seriously. Look at verse 28 again. By now it was early morning, and to avoid ceremonial uncleanness, they did not enter the palace because they wanted to be able to eat the Passover. They go to great lengths to be able to eat the Passover meal and remember God's rescue. But the devastating irony is, at the very same time, they're going to great lengths to secure the death of the true Passover lamb, the Lord Jesus. Again, back in John 1, verse 29, don't look. This is John the Baptist, the very first time he sees Jesus. This is what he says. Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Jesus uses his great, unmatchable power to become the Passover lamb, to be hung on a cross, to take the punishment for sin, for people who turn away and reject him. He doesn't use his unmatchable power to crush and to destroy, but to be crushed so that we might enter his everlasting kingdom. Isn't that amazing? He uses his power to die for the soldiers who mock and beat him round the face. Jesus uses his power to die for his own people who shout, "Crucify, we have no king but Caesar." Jesus uses his power to die for the man who knows he's innocent, who says he's innocent three times, yet still hands him over to be crucified. Jesus uses his power to die for you, for every single one of us here tonight. Jesus uses his power to die on the cross for me. He uses his power like no other. Isn't that stunning? If you're a Christian here tonight, I hope you're encouraged that that is your king. We've seen that your king is like no other, that his mission is like no other, that you have a part to play in that, and that he uses his power like no other, that he came and gave it all up for you so that you could enjoy his everlasting kingdom with him forever and ever and ever. And if you wouldn't call yourself a Christian, I wonder, do you want a king like that? The offer is there for you too. A king that has unmatchable power, but yet uses it for your good. So much so that it led him to die in your place, so you might enjoy him forever and ever. Let me pray for us as I finish. Lord Jesus, what a joy it is to know that you are a king like no other, that you are out of this world. And yet you use your power to humble yourself and to die on a cross in our place. What a joy it is to have you as our King. Please open our eyes and our hearts to see who you truly are. And when we do, might we testify to the awesome news that you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen.